And I want to continue to open the word that the Lord gave me last week entitled, A Harvest of Sons and Daughters. One of the prophetic words that I received in Trinidad, I shared with you, explicitly declared that God would be giving me us a harvest of sons and daughters. More specifically, the word emphasized not just church members, but sons and daughters. It's a great revelation when you come to understand that we are a family. The church is the family of God. It's not just a nice song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. What I'm glad about is to finally get a revelation on it. It's great to have any understanding of it. And that's why somebody wrote that song. But when the Holy Spirit begins to dig deep and say, I'm talking about a family with brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers that bring protection and training and love and covering, and that family being together like your natural family, only much more so. And it has to start with a revelation of the Father. From the foundation of the world, God planned to have a family through the work that Jesus would do on the cross in the shedding of His blood. God is never spoken of as our Father until after Jesus rose from the dead. Did you know this? And the first time it was revealed, it's never spoken of in the Old Testament. And the first time it's revealed is when Jesus encounters Mary Magdalene, the first person He encountered. And He said to her, don't touch me, Mary, because I haven't yet ascended to my Father and your Father. That had to have blown her away, this person with that Jewish background, for someone to say, God is your Father. The only way God could be the Father is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That our elder brother, Jesus Christ, the scripture says that God, that He was God's first begotten Son. And then after that, He made the way that many, many sons and daughters could be begotten through the Holy Ghost, through the blood of Jesus, through regeneration, through a new and living way, not by studying and head knowledge, but by a work of the Spirit of God that supernaturally puts us into a family that will be ours through all eternity. In John 20 and verse 17, Jesus said to her, touch me not, Mary, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And last week I asked the question, what would that look like? And how does this affect our future? That we receive a revelation that we really are a family of God, and instead of members, we are sons and daughters. You know, there'll always be a yearning to be a part of the family of God in people, because this is what God has called us to. And we cannot be satisfied with less. It satisfies, as I mentioned, those key psychological needs: security, significance, and a sense of belonging. I just felt so belongable yesterday. Didn't you feel belongable? I felt like I wanted to be there with everybody. I hung around a while as long until my body told me, if you're going to preach tomorrow, you need to get some rest today. And I so enjoyed, but honestly, the Lord told me in prayer, because I have such a yearning, you know, to get around and talk to people. And really, He said to me, why not get on that golf cart and ride all over the place and talk to people? See, I mean, the Holy Spirit will tell you how to do everything if you ask Him. So I enjoyed that so much. And I enjoyed seeing everybody else be blessed. And I know that fellowship is one of the sacrifices. Did you know this? The book of Hebrews says that fellowship is one of the sacrifices of the New Testament church. And sometimes it is a sacrifice, because of time and because of other things. But oh, how sweet and precious it is, and how powerful it is. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. God decided before the world was ever created, before the foundation of the world, that he was going to have a family with children. And through the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's just the will of God. It's God's eternal plan. And without walking in revelation of being a part of the family of God, which the scripture calls the household of faith, there are many today that are wandering around, even in church, not really being a part in it. Go to it, but not a part. Members of it, but not really a part. An orphan spirit in the church has kept people from feeling a part and from coming into their inheritance that Jesus provided for them, and from having the deep security of knowing they belong, they are a part. If you are only a member in a church, members can come and go, but if you are a part of the family, we have been born into Zion, as I ministered recently. And that's a spiritual work. It takes revelation. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Word of God settling deep in your heart. You know you're a part of something special and something spiritual and something that only God can do. In the natural, you're always a part of your earthly family, aren't you? You know you can't divorce your earthly family. Now, we've heard this testimony today of someone choosing to do that, I confess, only for a little season. But it is very much out of the norm because people just stick with each other. I heard Catherine Kuhlman say one time, everybody has an Aunt Myrtle. That if they're on the other side of the street, they'll say, hi, Catherine, haven't seen you in so long. Everybody has somebody that they're ashamed of, that they wish they could see a little less of, that they don't always agree with, but so what? They're a part of the family. In the church, however, because people have been members and not actually brothers and sisters, the family of God, they, if they didn't like something or didn't like somebody or whatever, they just thought that they could kind of cop out. But you don't do that with your family. You put up with them. Sometimes you might be estranged for a little while. All kinds of things go on. But you were born into that family. And I'm telling you, by the blood of Jesus, in a new and living way, you've been born into the family of God. The power to be the family of God was given through the blood of Jesus. He's called his church to be his family and has enabled us now to bring up sons and daughters unto his glory. In time past, people have been satisfied, unfortunately, just if their kids stay off of drugs, if their daughters don't get pregnant illegitimately, if they don't fall into some of these things, I just hope I can get them through school and get them through college, then they'll be on their own. Well, is it something great to be on your own? Aren't we called to something higher than going through school and finishing? Isn't there a greater calling on your life than not to get pregnant before you should? God help us to raise up and understand and teach our children we have a destiny. It's so important to understand this. You know, we got to have a revelation of Jesus as our brother. Hebrews 2:10, which I read to you, let me read it again. For it became him, Jesus, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. How many of you remember that I ministered about 8 messages on glory? And that God wants us to be a people of his glory, and to be bearers of his glory, and to have an atmosphere of glory in our church that far supersedes any of the things that we've known through the anointing. It is the literal presence of God and the felt, tangible glory of God, which we are just getting ready to step into. I heard that Mahesh Shavda said that the Lord has shown him the drought is over And that just as the United States has been in a drought for 17 years, that has ended. Thus, so shall be in this year. The spiritual drought shall end. I say, amen. Amen. Thank God for the rain song that we sang today. In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation, that's Jesus, perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified them and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brothers and sisters. You may be ashamed of yourself. You know that song we sing, I've been told I should be ashamed? Oh no. That's the spirit of accusation. I've been told by the Father I should not be ashamed. Jesus covered all my shame. Jesus is not ashamed of me. He loves me. Even though I feel ashamed of myself, he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise to thee. Jesus just comes right in, joins in our praise services, and sings with his brothers and sisters in this church. Now, I'm telling you, that's so much better than going to church and looking at your watch wondering if it'll ever be over. Or is this the day we're going to find out what the everlasting gospel is? Jesus is our brother. He's not ashamed of us. He's declared that God is our Father. And he's declared that we are his brothers, and he sings praises together with us in the midst of the church. So we're a part of the household of faith and brothers and sisters. He gives us spiritual mothers and fathers to train us, to love us, and protect us. Paul tells us that we are very fortunate when God gives us fathers in the faith. Remember that I read to you this scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:15. Paul said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. But in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. This is Paul speaking. He said, I have begotten you. Begotten means to bear, to bring forth, or to birth. You see, through relationships with mothers and fathers in the church, there's a spiritual impartation and transfer of spiritual values. It doesn't come through people who don't have it themselves. It has to come through the mothers and fathers, the people that are mature enough to believe what they believe and to impart and share that with others. Remember a message I did not long ago on generations. God really caused me to understand how we must dedicate ourselves to his way of bringing up sons unto glory. Now, the church has developed ways through the years. And there are whole organizations that invent ways that you're supposed to train your children, train your teens, train anybody else you can get hold of. And it shows you all the ways to do that, but it doesn't tell you that they need to be trained by mothers and fathers who have that spiritual impartation and anointing to bring that, which so many of you in this church are. It might have been a little hard for us to believe, so that's why the Lord had Heidi Baker come and say, this is a church of mothers and fathers. This is a church of mothers and fathers. I was so thrilled when she said that because I knew this, but I hadn't heard anyone, especially prophetically, declare this and put it into such a powerful way. You remember that she said that the Lord spoke the word legacy to her for our church. She said, churches come and go, but this church shall continue on even after the pastor has gone on to glory. It will continue on burning brightly until Jesus comes because it is a church of legacy. Last Sunday, I talked to us about reaching out and reaping the sons and daughters that God wants us to bring up for his glory. And today, I want to share with you how he wants this to happen, how I believe he wants us to be involved in it for it to happen. What's it going to look like to bring sons unto glory, and what is your part in that? Remember that we are joint heirs with Christ. This means that Christ, What Christ inherits, we inherit with Him. Romans 8:17 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The harvest that belongs to Jesus is also our harvest, because we are joint heirs. He's the Lord of the harvest, and He is the one that sends forth people into the harvest. And the Scripture says we are co-laborers with Him. If God gives you the revelation, where it comes to mean as much to you to win people into the kingdom as it does to Him, then it's going to be hard to hold you back from being a mighty soul winner. Amen. You get that understanding that it means a lot to you, because you're going to have brothers and sisters, and the church is going to have those that we need in order to get everything done that God has called us to be. So we are co-heirs and we are co-laborers, joint heirs and co-laborers with Him. We will acquire brothers and sisters, sons and daughters that will be our family throughout eternity. The harvest is precious. There was a man that cries for the nations. Can't think of his name right now. But he was such a huge, tremendous evangelist. And he was so taken with the harvest. He lived and breathed for just winning a few more souls and a few more souls. You could be having lunch with him, and just suddenly it's just like he clocked out and went into another world. And he'd say, the harvest, the harvest, the harvest. And I'd think, where does this guy live? You can just fall madly in love with the harvest. This is the kind of people that really bring people in. They never stop. They never start bringing them in. Now, God made a promise in Acts 2:17. And I'm going to show you now what it's going to look like when we really bring to birth spiritual sons and daughters in God's way that He intended for them to be. In Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now this is God's part, to pour out His spirit. That's His part. And then He leaves a lot of it to us after that, because we are partners with God in His work. And we're co-laborers with Jesus in His harvest. God's part is to pour out His Spirit. We see then that God's intention is for us to have prophetic sons and daughters. Now, some misunderstood and thought that was pathetic. We got some of that. And we're going to have prophetic sons and daughters. Everybody say it. We're going to have prophetic sons and daughters. I'm talking about your natural ones and the ones that we produce in the church here. Our young people and our middle-aged people and our older people are going to be and are a prophetic people. We are prophetic people. We pray prophetically. That's what intercessory prayer is. It's finding out what God wants to do and getting in there with Him and praying it through until it's done. We don't just pray on a God gimme level. But we pray on the level of what is the will of God. Prophetically, our young men are going to have visions, and we're going to champion their visions. The Scripture mentions everybody having truly spiritual ministry. Sons, daughters, old men, young men. It's an everybody multi-generational ministry. Did you know that God knew that the ministry was to be multi-generational before the slick generation we have now came up with the term? I don't know what we thought before. I guess we thought older people ministered and younger ones didn't, or maybe we think younger people ministered and old ones don't. But I'm going to tell you, the ministry is for everybody of every age. 2-year-old and 1.5-year-old, and anybody as old as they want to be and still want to serve God, there's no limit. Isaiah 44:3, I love this scripture, says, for I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. That's your children. And that's our spiritual children. I will pour my spirit, that's God's part, upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up among the grass. Now it doesn't say, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Nevertheless, they're going to have all kinds of problems, and you'll wish maybe you'd never had them or anything else. But if you just keep on praying some way, if you just train him up in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. So that leaves all the work to be done by other people while your kids go out and send their lives away, and when they get old, finally get saved. That is not what the Word of God says. It says, I am going to pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. And they'll spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. And one shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. In other words, these are going to be kids that'll talk God talk. Understand about blessing and are not ashamed to give their testimony. And to declare who they are. You know, testimony is so hugely important. And that we keep declaring and confessing who we are, what God's called us to be and to do, to declare everywhere we go. You know, I want to give you an example about this multi-generational, anybody, everybody, all of your life from beginning to end. I read in recent Charisma that Lauren Cunningham, founder and leader of YWAM, made the statement, I don't know exactly what I'm going to be doing when I get old. I'm 83 now. So when that man gets old, he's liable to really do some things. Because of YWAM's relentless efforts for over 50 years, they have changed the statistic concerning unreached people groups in the world. The number in 2007 was 639 unreached people groups. Now, I've had the wonderful privilege of going to some of these and declaring the gospel where people are some of the most unreached people in the world. And you talk about something wonderful. And presently, that number is 5. 5 unreached people groups. And just recently, presently, they are partnering with Mike Bickle's IHOP. Now, here's a man who is, we'd call him a senior man. I guess somebody 83 and over is senior. And he's partnering with Mike Bickle, who might be 60, I'm just guessing, who has all of these people at IHOP, tons of them young, very young, in their 20s, what have you, that spend their life being intercessors and paying their own way, not expecting somebody to pay them to do something for God. And together they're going to raise 1 million intercessors to shield the missionaries to the world. And they've already had wonderful reports coming in from missionaries everywhere of how they feel the result of their prayers. You know, I'm thankful that through the years we've had a small part. Well, even with YWAM, in the earlier days, it was right after I had written the book Kingdom Principles, one of the leaders came here to speak. He told me that he loved my book, which was new at the time, Kingdom Principles, and asked if I would sell YWAM 5,000 copies at my cost to be used to train new converts all over Asia, which I did. $5,000, what an investment. In Asia. Just, you know, it was a break-even kind of thing. Of course, we could have made a profit on it. But to think that we could have the privilege of sowing those books in Asia, you know, amazingly today, we still sell this same book. I mean, it's amazing. Kingdom Principles, we still sell this book. In the Caribbean, we sell them by the box for training new converts there, where I've ministered a lot, and they just think that's the book to get to train new converts. You know, and so it's just amazing. I've also noticed this, that as people get older in this thinking of multi-generational ministry, young men old men. The scripture talks about young men, sons and daughters, young men, old men, visions, dreams, prophesying. There's no end to it. There's no age limit to it. And I believe that God wants anybody that's got any age on them, I think that He wants them to take a fresh hold on ministry, ministering in the church, ministering in outreach, ministering in missions, all kinds of things, because it's the hour that God wants to use everybody, because He's done His part of pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. Reinhard Bonnke tried to quit ministry maybe 5 years or so ago, turn it over to his son, his ministry, turn it over to his son. It wasn't very long at all. His son told him, I just don't want this. So he just went back himself, and he said, you know what the Lord said to him? He said, you know, you can take a 747, and it's heavier and takes it longer to get off the ground than it does some of these more sleek, smaller planes. But oh, the load you can carry in a 747. And the Lord said to him, you just keep carrying the gospel until I tell you, you can quit. I'm going to tell you, God's not after sleek. God's after people full of stuff that they're willing to pour out. Now, this is just made up nonsense that you're supposed to just do it for a while. George Mueller was 87, still preaching. He's the man that prayed in his orphan homes, which he built by faith, never asking anybody for any help. He was still preaching when he was 87 years old, had 2,000 people, children, in these orphan homes in London in the 1800s and even going into the 1900s. That ministry still exists. And when he died, the stores all closed in London and they had a day of memorial because he had done such a great work. What if he had stopped? He went on till he was 87. I think he preached shortly before he died. William Booth of the Salvation Army preached way up in his 80s until he died. Smith Wigglesworth, I think, was 88, something like this. Part of the thing is that the enemy and the world culture wants to tell you, better slow down now. Can't do what you used to do. No, that's right. Quit doing the unnecessary things. Now you can really concentrate. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to live life the way you've always lived it, but give yourself to the work of the ministry. This is what we're called to until we die, and to be spiritual people until we die. You know, it's just so amazing how things that we think may be small, but as we just keep on doing them. John said, you know, you should read this little letter to the church. It's about the book that I wrote, Prayer in Another Dimension. And this little letter is from Brian Noel, inmate number 28409 from Wyoming. To whom it may concern, Shekinah Church, I'm writing to thank you for the dozen books you sent us on Prayer in Another Dimension by Sue Curran. We're so excited to do a group book study. I'm currently taking courses through Christian Life School of Theology, and the course I just took was on this book by Sue Curran. I love the book so much, I had our chaplain request a book donation. These books you sent us will help our church tremendously. Talking about their prison church. It's so amazing to see what God is doing inside these prison walls. We consistently see signs, healings, and miracles in our prison church, and our church is rapidly growing. Sue Curran's book has greatly impacted my life, and I'm already seeing the fruit from a more devoted lifestyle of a prayer. I know that it is the Holy Spirit's desire to move our entire church into a more devoted lifestyle of prayer. I thank you so much for your generous donation. God bless you. You know, we have a heart for prisons, and we've ministered a number of years in the prison over at Mountain City. But it's so great to find out how, you know, part of that prophetic word I shared with you was print the word, that we were to print the word. Just giving you a couple of samples here. How much it can affect and influence if every one of us will be involved in the part God's given us to do. So, what is our part? I told you God's part is to pour out His Spirit. God's first part was to cast the vision and say, I want a family, and I want everybody in that family to do their part that I've called them to do. And from little children all the way up to old men and women, I want them all serving me in the power of the Holy Spirit. What is our part? Remember that we are joint heirs with Jesus in reaping a harvest of sons and daughters. In my early book entitled, and I had to tell you the other day, I was going to look for it and I couldn't remember the name of it. The subtitle I remembered was Winning Your Children for the Kingdom Purpose. But it's called The Joshua Generation. It's one of the early books. From that time, you know, that the Lord began to open those things to me, I became dedicated to bringing up spiritual children who continue to be spiritual adults. That's my vision. Spiritual children who continue to be spiritual adults. And we don't wait until they get to be 12 or grown or anything else before they learn how to pray for the sick and prophesy and to do all the things that God's called us to do, because there's no junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost, and He works the same way through your children and through teens. When teenagers get the Holy Ghost, then they get such clarity. All the confusion goes away because they get that intellectual thing that the Holy Spirit shows them how to think, and everything begins to clear up. So the Lord gave me these four keys about children, winning children for the kingdom purpose. Number one, give your children a sense of destiny. Kids have to know, I was told by Elaine that recently they were writing out a vision on their level for the children's ministry, and that they're getting it down, what their expectation is, what they expect God to do to them and through them. And that really thrilled me. She said that she had said, it has to be the same as what pastor's vision is, but we have to personally have that vision as well and apply it in our situation. Give them a sense of destiny. Number two, win the heart of your child. I think you know what I mean by that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But if your kids are not, if they don't really know you and you haven't cultivated love and understanding and you're not really nurturing them, then neither can you bring them into the things of the kingdom. You've got to win their child and keep it. Thirdly, partner with the church to train your children. I'm going to tell you a little about that. And number four, make them a part of your spiritual life. You know, my mother used to take me, you know, if there was a revival on, I wasn't left home while Mother went. I think it was the fellow that worked with John Kilpatrick. He said, you know, I just, during the revival, I just had my kids with me during that revival we had down there at Brownsville. If they fell asleep and had to sleep under the pews, that was okay, but I wanted them to absorb the mighty power of the thing that God was doing. I'm telling you that, really and truly, we call it impartation or experiencing the anointing, but in a sense, you actually literally absorb the atmosphere when the Spirit of God is working. Well, make them a part of your spiritual life. Take them with you to the nursing home, or when you're going to pray for someone is sick. Be sure that you have a time of prayer with your whole family, and don't ever have the idea, which the enemy wants to give us, that they're too young for this and they won't understand. They will. Make them a part of your spiritual life, and take them with you when you go involved in spiritual things. And so, the Lord has been speaking to us. In the past couple of years, we've talked some, and I've made mention that we have a desire to have a school of ministry, and I mentioned in April that we were considering this, and it had been prophesied three times to us that we would have such a school. And we've just been looking for the exact time and approach, what steps God wants us to do to bring it to complete fruition. But we feel the time is now to begin this. And beginning Wednesday night, September 6th at 7 p.m., we want to bring the church together on one campus and we want to do this on Wednesday nights now for a season. On one campus with classes and groups for each age, with break between classes, and that there would be in that there are longer tracks and shorter tracks, fast tracks. I guess there's fast tracks and slower tracks then. One's 4 and one's 8. But after 8 weeks then of the course, then we'll have everybody will have a meal together in the dining room, all of us. One of the things we want to do is we want the church to have more time together in fellowship and study, all of us, to build a strength of the church together. We will be suspending the home groups for a season and set our focus on this. We feel this is what the Lord has spoken for us to do now, to get people of every age locked into training and impartation, to bring us to that spiritual place that we want to be, where everybody is going at the speed that they can go, learning the things that they need to learn. And it's quite an undertaking, but we've already done some work on it, and we're very excited about it. The classes are going to be held in the sanctuary, in the prayer room, upstairs in the media room, the coffee bar area, and eventually downstairs in the dining room. The fast track, there'll be fast track classes, workshops, and sessions, 8 weeks and 4 weeks, both 8 weeks and 4 weeks. Now, it's going to be like this. The types of, we're calling it classes, but understand this. If you've been in one of Jane's classes, you'll understand that it's not sitting there listening to the prof do his thing. No pontification in this situation. What we're going to do is to impart and share with you the spiritual realities from our lives, impart those to you. Some of it will be imparted to your head, and a lot of it be imparted to your heart, and we hope it's going to be imparted to your very lifestyle. This is what we want to see happen. Thankfully, we have some people here that are newer. We have some that haven't been saved as long as others. And there are areas that you really feel a need of some training in, like child rearing, and marriage, that kind of thing, finances. And so we've considered all of those things, but we also want to deal with the things that are just absolutely the spiritual things, like how to pray, the gifts of the Spirit, fivefold ministry, ministry of helps, a supernatural lifestyle, things that you've been wanting to be taught so that you can boldly go out and minister wherever you are and pray for people and understand how to get your prayers answered, how to function and flow under the anointing, how to be a person who moves into the prophetic and the other gifts of the Spirit and get you on a track where you'll start making some progress. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
How many would like to make progress in your spiritual life? How many would say, why do I sit here till I die? Smartest lepers on earth. Why sit we here till we die? No, we should. I don't want us to just be people to sit around and say, well, you know, I don't know very much, or I can't do very much, or I feel I'm not as spiritual as other people. Well, there's a remedy for that. God wants his people to be trained up under impartation through prayer in a spiritual context. And by the way, in these classes also, there'll be interaction, and so you'll also, it will be kind of like a group. Except you won't be eating like you did with your fellowship groups. And probably a few people lose a pound or two might help you. And it's going to be like sort of in this. Do you have this up? Oh, that's good. It's going to be like this. Number one, 3 classes will be taught simultaneously for adults. And that would be like, we might start out with a class. Jane would teach a class on how to pray and really get down with you on prayer so that you can make any kind of breakthrough that you need to make so you can really become a prayer. I promise you, any place I've ever been working in missions or anything, people will tell us, the people that came with the Shekinah group really know how to pray. Church, you need to learn how to pray, right? Everybody needs to learn how to pray and not be afraid. And secondly, children's classes will be in the Planet Glory classroom, And Elaine Lambert, as she's heading up the children, she's already heading up the leadership of that. And she's amazingly gifted and trained to do this work. She has already created curriculum. And is, and you know, and builds all this into it, you know, the flannel graph and all of that kind of things, so that it's just a top-notch thing. But there will be, you know, separate, of course, from what we do on Sunday morning, it will be in midweek, the whole family will be trained. So there will be children's training, and the idea would be to bring up spiritual children who know the Word of God and who practice what the Word of God has called us to do. Amen. For example, I would expect that our children would be going out, have a system where they would be going visiting the nursing home, learning how to pray for people and how to talk to people and how to love them, or going on different outreaches. For example, this past Wednesday night, while we were in class, some of our children went out and invited the people in our neighborhood to our picnic and gave them tickets to come. These kinds of outreach things, we're gonna really soak our children in an understanding. It's for you too. What was we said that Noah was down with the prayer walk that was going on. This is the kind of kids we plan to raise up. The children are going to begin rehearsing and preparing for the Christmas program in October. So we're very excited about that, because they're going to be doing a very special Christmas thing for Christmas this year in the sanctuary. So we are excited about that. You want to make sure that your kids get in there and that they understand that this is a time to be dedicated to something where you can bless the whole congregation and anybody else, because, by the way, it brings in visitors and it brings in outsiders when you do this, and it brings in other children that we wouldn't normally have. And our teens will be meeting in the launch pad, and Wilmer Singleton is going to be teaching our teens. Wilmer, are you here? Would you stand? I want everybody to know who you are. This Wilmer, in case you don't know him, but this is what he's done a lot of in the church that he was in before, and it's a very good time that God chose them to move here and be with us. He sort of did like Visha did. He visited twice and moved in. And so we like it. We like it when the Spirit of God moves that way. We're excited that our young people are going to have a teaching and ministry by people who have a desire to see kids flourish and come into all of their destiny, to be taught spiritual things. But I particularly, you know, when I was with Heidi Baker over in Mozambique, I was a little bit taken back by the, I don't know how to say it, I guess the freedom and the maybe even spiritual authority that the children and the young people had there. And they were just not afraid of anything. I mean, occasionally they had been out to share their testimony, and sometimes people would throw rocks at them. And things like that. But, you know, I heard them say, but I'm not afraid. And in fact, they make fun of missionaries who hide in the car when the rock throwing starts. Don't go there real quick if you're not ready and prayed up. But what I loved was ministering alongside these children. To go on the outreaches, they needed to be about, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And anywhere from there all the way through teens and every age kids that you can imagine. But as we were riding back, after we had a wonderful meeting, we established a church that particular night after having ministered throughout that day. Actually built a church there in that one night, or started it. And the young people were so excited because, I mean, this is their life. It's like in America, like you'd go to a movie to see, you know, the latest electronic weird thing. some robot or whatever. But instead of being in that realm or world, they were into the world of their Heavenly Father and wanting to reap the harvest as joint heirs and co-laborers with Jesus Christ. And that's what they did. You know, you can get spiritual reality into kids and teens and young adults if you work with them, if you impart the reality that you have in the Holy Spirit. And as we were riding back, they were riding, and we were all riding in the back of a truck. And I don't know, I guess Carol has a word for it, in singing. These kids don't exactly sing the way that we sing. And they have something like 3 or 4 part harmony, but it's not a harmony that our ears used to. But boy, is it loud, you know. You know, it's kind of like, hey, now we praise you, Lord. Everybody praise the Lord. And it's just like, it's not, it's sometimes a tonal quality. It's just really different. But here's what I loved about it. The exuberance, the excitement. And I want to see our kids and young people excited for God. I want to see them on fire for God. You know, on fire doesn't mean what sometimes people think it means, just for a day or two your kids get excited. On fire means really dedicated and a real depth about learning the ways of God and being involved in these things. Now, I just say to you that it's not their responsibility to be trained. It's our responsibility to train them. And when we provide that, and when we show them how much we love them and how much we want them to minister with us, I think we're going to be thrilled at some of the results that we're going to be seeing. So how many can say, I'm excited? Okay, I'm excited about this, and I believe that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I believe that there's going to be the kind of training we need, both to be spiritual and to work out the practical things in our lives. You know, practical things in your life will hold you back if you don't understand how to walk in it biblically. And so you need that kind of training too. But let me tell you something else. When I was 7 years old, I had an experience where I felt conviction. I was in my mother's Pentecostal church. And I made the trip to the altar and I cried and cried. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I was deeply touched. I think I told you that the next day I went to school. I think it's in the second grade, and I tapped my friend on the shoulder and I said, hey, I got saved last night. She said, from what? I didn't know the answer yet. But the spirit of conviction told me I needed to do it. Now, I got to thinking, what if someone had said, there's no junior Holy Ghost, this girl has the Holy Ghost working with her. Now let's talk to her about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And let's just go ahead and minister this to her so she can get strength. I'm just wondering, you know, I know some of you are probably thinking now, I don't think we needed you to have any more, really. But the fact of the matter is, what about with every one of our children? What if we really ministered to them with the expectation not to do something before it needs to be done, but when the kids are really ready and open, that we understand. John Kilpatrick said he'd never forget. I'll never forget, he said, I was lying on the floor, and he said, I couldn't get up. I forget how long it was when the Holy Spirit moved in there. And he said, I never will forget. He said, I guess it was after a couple of hours. I heard the sound of little children's feet, and I heard the crying. I heard them crying, and I heard their little prayers on their lips. And I heard them saying, Jesus, we want to be forgiven. Jesus, we want to be saved. Jesus, we love you. And they'd brought them in from their classes, and they were so overwhelmed with the presence of God. I want to hear those sounds. I want to hear little children repenting. I want to hear teenagers, young adults, old people that forgot how to repent. I want to hear them start repenting all over again. It's a multi-generational salvation. We have a multi-generational God. He's a God for everybody, and He's not a respecter of persons. People are, but God isn't. You know what? God's the kind of God, He'll let anybody do anything. He doesn't care how old you are. There were 2,000 children in France one time during a revival that were prophesying out in the field, and they had to go carry them in. Children went to heaven many times in Roland Baker's grandfather's ministry in China and would come back. That's where I got the information from Heidi. There are animals in heaven. She told me this. She texted me this after my missy went on. And she said that those Chinese children saw different kinds of animals. I'm finished with this. I don't know about you, but I just feel like it's, you know, so much needs to be said or something, but I'm just excited about it. I just kind of want us to get hold of it. But I'm just so excited that the Lord is speaking to us right now about not waiting. I got the word, don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. Move into it. And for all of us to really get involved in the thing that God wants, for all of us to put our eyes and our hearts with our children, with our teens, our young people, and let's really grow them up to be spiritual men and women of God. Because it's time for a generation to be raised up that will really make His name great. And that's what the scripture means when it says, bringing sons unto glory. We want our sons and daughters not to just experience religious things, but the glory of God, and to know how to get there and how to function there. Amen? Let's stand together in His presence.